Interesting question this morning. Why do we name drop when we are speaking to other people?
Credibility.
All right, credibility.
Attentiveness.
Attentiveness? Is that what you said?
And we want to retain your names too.
Okay. Okay. All right, so you're going kind of different avenue there.
Well, it shows you're attentive and it snaps their attention and then it gives them credit.
Yeah. Stolen glory or whatever.
All right, stolen glory.
Make yourself seem important.
All right, make yourself seem important.
Oh, we may name drop ourselves.
Well, like if I'm talking to you and I said, well, Pastor Sean said, blah, whatever. So it's not using your name when I'm talking to you.
It's just worth citing like you do in an essay.
All right, citing someone. Okay. Other thoughts? All right, out of pride. Okay, good, Mary.
If it's someone you don't know well, it makes you more relatable, like you know the same people.
Okay, good. So you'd mention a name that somebody else knows them, and so you mention the name that you know them a little bit, so to kind of relate better with them. All right, good. Good thought. Do we normally view this in a positive light or a negative light? Probably negative, because normally I would say normally when people are doing this, it's they're trying to get something for themselves.
And then by the meantime, it drops Adolf Hitler's name or anything.
Right. We used to have somebody on staff here years and years ago, and they used to always say, "Well, the pastor said." And then we kind of figured out after a while, we'd go ask the pastor, did you say that? And it was before Pastor Sean. But yeah, we'd say, did you say? And he'd be like, no, I never said that. Just like, all right. So, they're just using your name to try to get what they want by saying he wants it kind of idea.
When I was in the military, I had some officers tell me, hey, just use my name if you want to get something done.
Okay. Right.
So just back briefly, let me know,
Yeah, just tell me what you said said so I don't get caught with it. All right. So they trusted you a lot for you to be able to do that.
Yeah,
good.
That doesn't happen very often. But
right. Yeah. All right. Any other thoughts on that? All right. And hopefully this will tie into our lesson. You'll see this in a little bit. So we're in John 16, verses 12 through 15. I'll give you a second to turn there. We looked at verse 12 last week. We'll review just two, three slides, and then we'll dig into verse 13.
It seems in the Bible the biggest name drop people do is Abraham.
Yep. In the Bible, Abraham. We're children of Abraham or Moses. Seems like yep. And how'd that go for the ones that were dropping Abraham's name with Jesus? Not very well, did it? Yes, Jesus still won the argument, and he also said, you're really not children of Abraham. Verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. So verse 12, we have that bear them now. We talked about that last week, how the disciples were at a point where they just couldn't take anymore. They couldn't carry anymore, sustain anymore. And their state of mind was at the point where Christ now had been really trying to give a lot to them. And their frame of mind, their sorrow, all that was going on in their lives now at this point was at the point where they just really, from what we can tell, they just really couldn't digest anymore and just couldn't handle any more things. So Christ said, I still have a lot of things to say to you, but you just can't handle it for now. And so then he goes into verse 13 where he says the Spirit of truth is going to come and he will do what? He will guide you into all the truth. So it's interesting that this Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, is given the quality or the characteristic of the truth, which also we saw in John. Who else was state it to be the truth. Jesus. All right, good. You know, Jesus, that says, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So now he is now taking that attribute and saying, you know what? Not only am I the truth, but the Holy Spirit is also the truth. So now he's making the Holy Spirit and in himself equal in that regard. So he said he will guide you into all the truth because he is the Spirit of truth. But he says he won't speak on his own authority. But he says whatever he hears, then he'll speak and he'll declare to you the things that are to come. So kind of keep that idea in mind as we go through our lesson today, that the Holy Spirit's, in essence, he's speaking, he's name dropping. He's saying, Jesus told me this and Jesus told me that. And this is what Jesus says and Jesus is this. And so now he's going to be sharing them. Although he is the truth, the Spirit of truth, he's also now going to teach them the things that Christ wants them to know. All right. So it's kind of it's interesting as we go through that. All right. So the guide last week we said is what our security blanket. All right. He's that resource that makes a trip more comfortable and makes it more bearable. He's the one or she's the one that knows the territory, knows where you're going, knows the things to look at, talk about, see. And so they're the ones that are going to help through all of that so that you make it through your trip and make it through that excursion as pleasantly as possible and get as much out of it as possible. And we said without the guide, then, you know, wherever you're visiting, it's more difficult to make it through. You know, the reality of being there and the reality of getting all that you can in the short time that you have there. And so the idea that I want us to think about is this idea of going through life, which is an unknown. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what tomorrow, what today, the rest of today is for us. And yet, so it's kind of this wilderness, this forest, this idea of I have no idea where I'm going in life, but I have a guide. I have someone that is my helper. I have someone that is coming along beside me. I have someone that is truth, and they're going to share this truth with me and help me through my journey. And they will guide me through my journey of life. So this is what the disciples were facing in their time of sorrow as Christ is now getting to the point of, you know, I'm going to die. I'm going to leave you. And their thought was, well, you know, you've been with us the last 3.5 years. What are we going to do without you? You know, how are we going to make it? And, you know, and all of us think that way when, you know, maybe a boss, a good friend, a relative, a spouse, you know, when they die, when they move away, when we're separated. And that thought is, you know, how can I make it without them? So that same idea is going on in the disciples' minds. They're asking themselves, you know, Christ, we can't go on without you. But Jesus is telling them, yes, you can, because I'm going to give you this Spirit. I'm going to give you something that you've never had before. And it's again, that idea is difficult for us because most of us, if we, you know, most of us that were saved at an early age, you know, we've just kind of, in essence, always grown up with the Holy Spirit. And we don't really understand life without the Holy Spirit. Yep, no.
I was thinking about too, Jesus is a, you can touch Jesus.
Right, yeah.
And you smell him, and you what he smelled like, and you what he, you know, just to be able to grab it, you know, because I know, I hope that if I could just touch you sometimes.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you talk about a spirit, like, you know, like a new wine and an old wine.
Yep.
Like, I don't want a new wine, because I kind of like an old wine. You know, I like Jesus hanging around. I don't want him to go nowhere. Talk about, you know, that he's going to give another one. I mean, like, that's like if you were to leave Sunday school class, we're like, we don't want anybody but Steve, you know, we want somebody, you know. And so I was thinking about that, because I know that that's the way I would feel, that I don't want, if I got a physical being right there with me, I don't want, even if he's coming in dwelling with me, I just miss it.
Right. Oh, yeah. And that idea of, you know, we and our humanity, we want something that we can touch and feel and talk too, and they talk back and we see their mouth move kind of thin. You know, and to try to describe this concept of, you know, praying or talking to an you know, something that you can't see, and then they somehow talk back to you but you don't really hear them, kind of thing, and you sense it, and you know, that's very difficult to explain to someone and for them to believe that. And again, so it comes down to our faith, that we take by faith and believe and have the hope that yes, that what someone is saying is true. So we have this idea of the world as this spiritual desert, that and this journey that we are going through. And God has called us to traverse this pilgrimage or traverse this world, this life, and go through it. And yet he doesn't say, you know, you have to do it alone. You know, as a believer, he says, I will go with you. I will guide you. I will give you the Spirit to guide you through this and help you manage all throughout your life. And in order to not get lost or get, you know, lose it along the way, then we have to employ the help of the Holy Spirit. And that's one of those difficulties. I wrote about that in my email this week, how that, you know, we've got to rely upon the Holy Spirit. And, you know, it's one thing to say, yes, you know, I'm a believer and, you know, the Holy Spirit lives within me and, you know, okay. But it's another thing to truly acknowledge his presence in your life and to rely upon that and utilize that. You know, I think sometimes we don't like to think of it that way. You know, I utilize the Holy Spirit because we feel like, well, you know, I'm using him. But again, what, you know, is that wrong to say I'm using the Holy Spirit? I would say no, because he wants us to use him. You know, it's that idea that you know, Christ, God has given him to us for what? To be used.
And if we don't use him, we're sinning.
Okay, and if we don't use him, then that's sin, because we are to utilize him. You know, we're not to quench him. We're not to discourage him. You know, we're to invite him or to allow him to speak into our lives and to utilize that. So we've got to employ his help as much as possible and as much as we can throughout each day. So then in verse 13, he says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. All right, so does this relate, this idea of all the truth, does it relate to anything that Jesus said back in verse 12? Because remember in verse 12, he says, I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. All right, so what is the relation? What's the correlation between verse 12 and verse 13 here?
You don't have what it takes to know.
All right, we don't have what it takes to know. But he's saying then the idea that the Holy Spirit's going to what? Continue the work of Christ, right? You know, Christ is saying, I have so many more things to teach you and tell you, but you just can't handle them. But it's not like you're just going to be ignorant the rest of your life. And, you know, it's not like I'm just going to, you know, close the book and be like, okay, you know, chapter 10 and, you know, there's 10 more chapters, but you can't find out what happens. No, he says, you know what, I'm going to give you this Spirit and he's going to continue teaching you. He'll continue revealing the truth to you that you need to know. Because he said, I still have many things to say to you. And now the Holy Spirit's going to pick that up and continue that. So what are the truth? What is the truth or truths that Jesus is alluding to? All right, this is an interesting question. See what you come up with. Yep, Malcolm.
Probably everything after, you know, like Paul and Peter's and John's, like say, right now he's basically giving us the basics. But like I said, I listened to Pastor Sean this morning and I started realizing, you know, these are little stuff that's being laid down. You know, when you first get married, like you said, when you guys get married, there's a lot of things you say, well, I'm married, but you think you've got it all figured out. And then when you find out that you don't, that there's a lot of things you've got to learn, you know, about each other and about others. I was thinking about, too, that the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. It's the same one. But like I say, just there's there's more to Christian living than, you know, just like stuff like loving one another and believing in God. Those things have physical evidence in the lives we live.
Okay. All right. Ever?
I think since Jesus went back to heaven, you know, that's would be the start of the end times. And so the Holy Spirit, through the power and discernment that he gives us, will help us, you know, traverse the journey to the end, through the end times.
Okay. So the truths leading up to and going through the end times. All right. Any other thoughts? Okay.
Well, I've been dealing with this week about recognizing being empowered by Christ and how the truth of the matter is, like you said, he's the vine and I'm the branch. And it's really hard to live a Christian life without being infused by the Holy Ghost to do these things, because without him and without these truths, that I think that's the main truth, that I'm insufficient to live the kind of life that I'm supposed to live without the Holy Ghost being indwelt in me. And like you said, that I should be absolutely dependent upon him, that my studying, my prayers and all that stuff means nothing unless the Holy Ghost is there and he's empowered me to do whatever he's called me to do.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? All right. We'll kind of tie this up here in a second. He says he'll guide you in all the truth. And then he says, for he'll not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. So the Spirit's going to behave as Jesus has done. Okay, so again, the equality or the same characteristics among them. And just as Jesus neither acted nor spoke on his own authority, and have seen that several times throughout John, neither will the Spirit speak on his own authority. So remember, Jesus said often, you know, I've come to do my Father's will. This is what my Father wants from me or has told me to do. Now Christ is saying, you know what, the Holy Spirit's going to do the things that I've said or that I tell him. So we have this, we still see an order within the Trinity, but we're also getting truth about the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and now the Spirit within this. So just as Christ declared what he heard from the Father, the Spirit's going to now declare what he's heard from Christ. And then he says, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. So is the Holy Spirit going to provide predictions concerning future events? We kind of have three questions here. Or is the Holy Spirit going to give divine revelations to certain individuals? Okay, because all of these are different things that we hear. You know, that the Holy Spirit gives us predictions about the future. The Holy Spirit, you know, I got a word from the Spirit, or the Spirit showed me this or told me this. Or what is this, the things that are to come? What is that? What is Jesus referring to here? So another big question for you. Let's start with the disciples.
Because I have an answer for that.
All right, what is it for us?
Well, I live in like a closed canon, so I don't really think that there are any more priests or prophets of today necessarily. But I think, you know, when some people say like, you know, I felt like it was coming, or I felt like I knew what was going to happen in the future or something. I believe that it's more how the Holy Spirit is helping us to discern what is the right choice. And so when you're thinking through a situation that might be in a few months or something, like choosing where to go live or if to take a job or what college to go to, like when you're thinking through decision making, it's not so much like, well, I just knew a long time ago that this was going to happen. It's not quite like that, but I think it's more like the Holy Spirit gives you that discernment of what's the right choice to make. And so then, you know, we have this feeling like something's going to happen down the road, but it's because we listen to the Holy Spirit first to make that right choice.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right.
So, sir, in the book of Revelation, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like the sound of a trumpet saying, write in a book what you already see, etc., etc.
Right.
Certainly we have revelation through the Holy Spirit.
Okay, John did, which then he recorded, and you know, we can read the revelation that was given to him. Okay, good. Yep, Malcolm.
I was thinking about Ananias whenever he was told to go check on Paul. You know that the most of the time the Spirit does. Most of the time when we're told to do something. We can, most of the time I know when the Spirit's telling me to do something because it's usually something I don't want to do. and like you said, there's that assurance that what we're doing is the right thing, even though our mind, our physical says everything in a logical reason says that does not make sense to me at all.
Okay.
But and sometimes I say that that's what amazes me, is that God can give us reason, and then there's a time when we have to step beyond our reason into faith and say, this is what God wants to do now, and no matter what it brings about it, it brings me personal grievance that it doesn't matter, it's what God wants.
Okay. And I would, you know, and I'm not saying the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to us, because I know there are many times where, you know, somebody's name just, you know, it's like it just pops in my head, you know, and I send them a text or call them. You know, and I know that was, you know, the Holy Spirit prompted you, me or you. I know I'm sure all of you would say you've been there as well, you know, to reach out to someone that needs a word of encouragement or needs something at that time. But when he's talking about the things that are to come, you know, what was Jesus trying to convey to the disciples at that time in their lives? What's that?
That his death was coming.
All right, that his death was coming. Okay. Because I'm not going to say there's like one right answer and everything else is wrong. I think it's a kind of a unveiling of several things here. But but Christ coming, his death, his burial, you know, his resurrection.
And then the things that would come after. That's why when we get into Acts and you have disciples. That point, taking his message from the Great Commission, which is to go and proclaim the gospel into all of us.
All right, so for the truths to come, there are the things that already come. Could we kind of lump in there, you know, all the different books of the New Testament?
Yeah.
You know, where different apostles and writers were guided by the Spirit to write those things. And the, you know, to lay out what things were to come, you know, and then the giving them the truths as they were on their different journeys and starting churches and proclaiming Christ, the truths that they needed to get through that time.
And then I was thinking about too, they're expecting a messianic kingdom. And all of a sudden he started talking about going away, and they're like, wait a minute, it says that you're going to reign on the throne forever. You know, you talk about heading out. You know,
right. Yeah. Alrighty. So, you know, all of those, the coming times that were going to be traumatic for the disciples, you know, whatever that might have been, because each of them, again, each of them went through something slightly different. You know, some were killed pretty quickly. Some, like John, you know, made it all the way through writing the Revelation and being the last one. But the Spirit was promised that he would guide them through the rest of their lives and that he would give them the truths, the Scripture, the Spirit, all of that to get them through that time. And so in this combination, this Christ is now in his farewell session of telling the disciples goodbye, but he's also giving them what? Hope for the future. You know, that they are going to have a hope of someone coming, the Spirit coming to guide them and to continue to teach them and train them and disciple them as they go along. And then, you know, is there another way that we can interpret the things that are to come? And Everett kind of brought this up as well as Renee. You know, many would also say that encompassed within this is the book of Revelation, where the Holy Spirit led John to write the things of the future that are even future for us, things that haven't yet come, so that we do have the truth of what to expect in the days to come and in those last days, just before the Messianic kingdom. So I'm going to stop there. Give us a couple minutes before the bell rings. And if you guys could, please, I have four pens back there and you can kind of take turns writing on the cards, but like to get them sent out this week. But Father, thank you for the time we've had to share today. I do pray for those that aren't able to, or that haven't been coming because of COVID still and their concerns with that. I pray that these cards would be an encouragement and a blessing to them. In your name, amen.